we're back. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to On the Air, which is the name of the show. And I didn't give it the name. Scott gave it the name. But we're on the air, and we're on the air with the On the Air. Anyway, and we have James Anderson, our naturalist for Marion County, and we've been talking about all sorts of critters and the weasel family, and there was another family. Oh, and I talked about my skunk episode, and so this time of the year is one of those times of the year that the critters are pretty active, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of them.
Yeah, anyway. A lot of them are starting to become very active. Their breeding seasons are starting out.
Yeah.
Or about to start, so.
How about deer?
So, for deer, actually, it's interesting this time of year. A lot of the males are shedding off their antlers.
Oh, okay.
So
now, does the whole antler come off?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the whole antler comes off, and then it will start regrowing in about mid to late April. And it's the second fastest growing tissue.
Oh.
Guess what number one is, unfortunately? It's cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So,
you mean in animals or in general?
In living organisms.
Oh,
yeah.
My.
But, yeah, their antler growth rate, and obviously it's going to be dependent on diet, nutrition, genetics.
Huh.
And also, obviously, age, too. You're very young, very old, are not going to be producing larger antlers. I guess you call your mid-range, you're going to be, you know, producing those fast, usually larger antlers.
But their horn growth doesn't have anything to do with their time of the year, a season, right? Their mating season or anything, does it?
Well, I mean, it gets ready for the rut.
Oh, really?
It's prior
to, not after.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
They loosen in the winter, and then they'll start growing in the spring, and then
okay.
by the time when is it usually? Usually about August, September-ish is when they'll, you know, that rut will start. And
yeah.
then before the rut, they'll shed off that felt.
Yeah.
And they'll get rid of that stuff on their antlers. And then once that rut starts, then that's when their antlers are in their prime to fight against other bucks.
Now, I'm going to ask a very disgusting question.
All right.
Is that where the term getting horny came from?
You know, I don't know.
I hoped you wouldn't.
Well, horns are different from antlers. See, horns are permanent.
On
an animal. So think of a cow. Cows have their horns are permanent, and they don't shed off, versus antlers, they shed off.
Oh, is that, you call them antlers if they shed off, and you call them horns if they don't?
They don't, yes.
Okay. So no animal sheds, probably antelope and critters that are related to deer, but there is no, like, cow that sheds its horns.
No,
or
no. The only way it comes off is through either you cut it off or an accident.
Yeah, now, I've often wondered about, like, rhinoceros, whose horns are very valuable. Do they ever, to protect them, do they ever just saw that horn off?
So, it's actually funny you mentioned that. So, I've heard in some articles they will cut, like, a portion of it off, so it makes them less desirable for poachers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. No.
Unfortunately, poachers will go all the way down to basically, like, you would call the root level.
Yeah.
And then, because of that, then
they bleed to death.
They'll bleed, or they can get infection, and they can die.
Yeah. Now, most of the time, they just kill them and saw it off.
For the most part, yeah.
Oh, jeez. People are so stupid.
That's true. Yeah, they are.
I guess people just don't realize how interrelated the species are.
You're right. We're all connected.
Yeah, we have to count on them, and they have to count on us.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
Now, I'm not going to be counting on too many Bengal tigers or grizzly bears, but I know somebody is going to be counting on them to eat up something that's tearing up their farm or something like that. Now, wolves are coming back pretty good, right?
Yes, but there has been some talk, especially in those western states, about allowing to legalize hunting again.
They don't like wolves at all.
No,
there,
a lot of the farmers, ranchers are, highly against it. And when the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, when they released them in the 90s, I heard it was an uproar.
Really? Yeah. Well, now, the one thing that wolves will take down is big mammals,
deer
cows
and elk.
And game animals. So, but they will go right into a farm and take down a cow if they... If they're hungry.
They can. Yep.
Now, what do they... They get, like, the whole pack together, and then they jump on it and just...
Ambush, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my. Nature is not pleasant, is it?
It has its moments.
Okay, now, you were talking about... snakes and salamanders.
Oh, yeah.
Now, salamanders are actually coming out of their hiding down in the southern part of the state.
Yes, yeah.
I would have thought that they're cold-blooded, aren't they?
They are. Well, remember that worm snap we had earlier?
Yeah.
That encouraged them to, hey, let's get out. And sometimes, even if it's above 30 degrees, they will stay a little bit active for their breeding season.
What do they do if they come out on a 55-degree day and the next day it drops down to 10?
See, that's where it can get harmful, and it can hurt them.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't have weathermen in the salamander world.
No.
So they don't know.
No, they don't.
Now, do they have kind of a waiting period where it gets warm for only one day so that it doesn't really wake them up yet? Or
sometimes it takes a few consecutive days,
yeah.
And that's what happened, this week.
We had three or four days. Yeah.
Yeah, it was in the 50s, 60s.
Yeah.
And so that probably triggered the salamanders, like, okay, hey, let's start
breeding. And it was raining, so
and that's
probably like that, too, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, I was going to mention that. It was the perfect condition for breeding salamanders.
Now, was it raining down in our old neck of the woods?
Yes, yep. Yeah.
So
that's actually more flooding down there than there is up here.
Now, I think it stayed a little warmer down there, too.
Yeah.
So maybe, I hope our salamanders are... I hope Brownie isn't... wasn't it Brownie that we called?
Oh, yes.
No, that was the snake. Sally.
Yeah, Sally the salamander.
Sally the salamander who came in and visited us. I hope he's all right
or she's all right,
whatever it was. I don't know how you tell the difference. But
So during the breeding season, you'll notice the males will have, I'm just going to say on the radio, a bigger package.
Okay.
But during the non-breeding season, it's not there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to flip any salamander over to check it out, but it's kind of interesting. You didn't know you were going to get so educated today, did you, listener?
The more you know.
Well, now, the snakes you were talking about, now, they're a little bit early for them, but you were talking about garter snakes that get into a ball or something?
Yeah, so right now they're hibernating for the most part all together, and they're all conserving heat. And then right after hibernation period, which here in Central Ohio, Marion County, we're usually looking about early to mid-April for the most part. And so what they'll do is that's when they have to breed as well, like the salamanders.
Uh-huh.
And what will happen is the female, she will produce this pheromone, basically saying, I'm ready. And all these males are like, okay, let's try to breed with the female. Well, since they just came out of hibernation, they're still very slow, very sluggish. So they're all trying to conserve heat and trying to get warmed up as they can, because she's going to make him work for it. And she's going to be, he basically has to push her or hold her down in order to breed. And
you're kidding.
Well, that shows physical fitness.
Okay.
And that makes sense, because obviously with the female being larger and, able to do that, that's saying, hey, I'm able to produce, good, adequate young.
There are some human women that would say that is something other than physical fitness. But, okay, go ahead.
So, and I was telling Glenn earlier, it's that sometimes they have observed that males, garter snakes, will sometimes produce that female pheromone.
To fake the other guys out.
Fake the other guys out, and he'll have all the other males go on top of him, and he'll get warmed up really quick, and then he'll try to go for that female.
So, because he gets warmed up faster,
yes,
he's not quite as sluggish,
yes,
maybe.
Weasel his way in.
Good. Very good. Weasel his way in.
I had to mention that with our topic of weasels.
Now, is that in general snakes, or is that just with garter snakes?
That's mainly your garter snakes. Brown snakes will do that. So not every snake species do that.
Do a lot of young people call them garden snakes instead of garter snakes?
Yeah, well, I kind of hear it's kind of back and forth between each generation. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it's garter snake.
Yeah. When I was a kid, we called them garden snakes.
Yeah.
And they're greenish, a lot of them, or brown. And so they kind of blend into the garden. I'm looking forward to this thing with my mason bee thing.
Yeah.
Now, they are non-stinging, unless you cup them in your hand and try and, you know, be mean to them. And there's another bee that uses the same type of tube little house. Unfortunately, the place where I bought my little house, for it's only 3 inches long, and I found out that if you want little female cocoons, that's what they put in there. They don't put honey in there. They have cocoon, and then they stuff a little mud plug in there. But if you want females, you need a 6-inch long tube. For some reason or other, the critters that are laying the cocoons, I guess that's what you're calling it. Anyway, they put the little girls way at the back for protection, I guess. And the little boars, they don't care. They'll put them anywhere. But and then it's kind of interesting because if you have a nest, and one of them that I was looking at, it was a big block. It was 6 inches deep, and you drilled holes in it. And then you put a little tube in it, and you bent the end of it so that you could pull the whole thing out, and then you could save those little cocoons in your refrigerator till the next spring.
Okay.
And I kind of like to do that, but I don't want to save nothing but males, so I don't know. I may have to do something else. My wife's being very kind to me and allowing me lots of freedom to buy things for my garden.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so,
are you going to buy some native plants this year?
I am going to get out there. I am definitely going to get out there. What's the name of that place?
Natives and Harmony.
Natives and Harmony. And it's out
In Marengo, Morrow County.
Yeah. I am definitely going to get out there. My daughter-in-law goes out there. I think I told you that. And she
probably encountered her.
She lives in Worthington, and drives all the way out there to get... And she has planted native plants. They're the ones that have the... their house is on a ravine that feeds to the... Olentangy?
Oh, yeah. If they're around Worthington, that's...
Yeah. And they have lots of, not small deer, huge deer.
Oh, yeah.
That was another question I was going to ask you.
All right.
I told you that I had deer scat.
Yeah.
Do you call it deer scat
or just scat?
Deer poop.
Scat.
Okay. Deer scat in my backyard, and I know it's deer, unless there's some other animal that does pellets that are about three-quarters of an inch or long, and it's a big pile of them, but I was going to shovel them up and put them in my garden. Now, would they be as good for your garden as, like, horse poop?
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't eat meat, right?
No, they're all herbaceous.
Yeah, you don't want to put meat-eating critters poop in your garden.
You can.
You can.
Yeah.
It just takes longer to disintegrate.
Break down.
Yeah. But, I think I'll shovel that up today and throw it in my garden.
There you go.
Now, I'm going to start my gardening a little early this year because we're going to take this trip to California, but I'm not going to plant anything inside like I usually do because I won't be able to tend them on the inside. I found out my... my light timer doesn't work, so that'll be bad. So I'm not going to start my indoor stuff. Other than I've already had my first harvest of lettuce, which is very nice. I had it my first harvest I had last night. Well, I've had it all during the winter, but then you run out. I won't go into that. That's another story. Now, do you have any flowers getting ready to pop out on the tall grass trail?
At the trail, not the time, no.
How about crocus? Would they be early, soon? Or iris, maybe?
If the weather plays out right, I mean, yeah, we could have them about mid to late March.
Now, I think next Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, isn't it? It might be. And I remember some Ash Wednesdays having them poke up at that time.
Yeah.
But then Ash Wednesday is on different Wednesdays year after year. So that was one of the things I used to love about Easter. With my father being a minister, we had a lot of church going. But the thing I remember the most is daffodils and crocus. And now, crocus, I understand, is where you get that real expensive. You take the semen, or not the semen, the stamens.
Stamen, yeah.
And you make, what is the name of that real expensive stuff that you put in food to make it? I don't know. Anyway, but you have to grow billions of crocus to get enough of that thing. Anyway, that's not the area that we're talking about. What other critters are starting to peek their heads out at this time of the year?
Well, we mentioned that groundhogs are going to be coming out. Yeah. I've actually had a few friends.
Are they related at all to the weasels?
No.
Okay. Fat.
Okay. Groundhogs are related to rodents.
Oh, okay.
So mice, rats, squirrels, things like that.
Gotcha.
But groundhogs will be actually coming out of hibernation here soon. It's usually typically the males first.
Yeah.
And what he'll do is he basically creates a mental map, and he's going to be pinpointing where all the hibernating females are.
By smell, I assume.
Yeah, by smell. Now, he's not going to breed with them, and he may travel to their burrow, but he's going to, you know, put that pinpoint in his brain. But then usually about mid-March, when things really start warming up, usually that's when everybody comes out of hibernation. And then he'll say, okay, I know a female's here. There's a male over there. Here's another female.
I'm going to go find Mrs. Robinson real quickly.
Yes, to avoid competition with other males, and also to against predators. Because, you know, having that mental map, you're able to, like, you know, be very quick.
Yep.
And
get right there.
Yeah, you're not out there, you know, all the time and exposing yourself to predation.
So. And they're not real fast either.
They're not. They're still kind of chunky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're not going to be moving as fast.
How big does a groundhog get to be?
So, on average, they can get about 10 to 12 pounds, but during that hibernational state, they get about a little over 20 pounds.
Wow. Big fat boys at that time, right? All right. Well, do you have any other critters that are coming?
Red-winged blackbirds are starting to come back. Yep.
They're kind of mean.
They can be. They'll
come at you if you get close to their territory.
Yeah.
They're like barn swallows.
Yes, barn swallows. Vultures are what people call buzzards. They are slowly coming back.
Okay.
It's a sign that, you know, spring is coming.
You know what I saw? Not more than 2 or 3 days ago, I was driving to Lowe's. And as I pulled in the parking lot of Lowe's, I looked up, and there is a bald eagle. And I mean, his head was as white as snow.
Oh, good.
And so he was an older bald eagle, and he swooped down over my car. Couldn't have been more than 50 feet above
me.
Oh, I loved it. I really love that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I have seen one other bald eagle above Route 23, which is right next to where we saw this. Yeah. You don't see them very often, are they?
Depends where you are.
No, you have them out at Tallgrass
Trail.
That's where I've seen them more.
They're on 95 right there by the golf course, right? We're in Clarendon.
There
must be a nest nearby, because I see one all the time up in those treetops.
And it's kind of neat, because you don't really expect it to look up and see a white-headed eagle flying that close to you. Now, why would he have been there? It's a parking lot.
They're starting to adapt to human environments, so
they can find squirrels or mice there as
rodents,
well.
Rodents, anything, any carrion, if there was anything dead around.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Okay. That's right. You told me that they eat carrion, which surprised my wife when I told her that.
Yeah.
She said, I thought they were more noble than that.
Well, and I mentioned that's one of the reasons why Ben Franklin did not like the bald eagle.
Yeah, yeah. Now, another thing I've noticed in my backyard, excuse me for talking about my yard.
It's very fascinating.
My yard is a total menagerie of animals this year.
That's good.
We have 4 or 5 squirrels. Now, I've never had that many. I've usually had 2.
Okay.
But I have bunches of them, and they all kind of get together. Would that be because the seed is dropping? That's a brand new bird feeder.
Yes, they're probably taking advantage of that seed.
Oh, they love that seed, along with that bunny that is, and he's big. Bunnies get, how big do bunnies get?
For cottontails, they can get up to about 5 pounds.
Is that what I would have in my backyard?
You could have. I mean, if it's eaten especially out of that bird seed, I mean, it could be, you know, 7 pounds.
Yeah, I'm showing I'm showing James the size. He was at least that big.
Yeah.
Would that be about 7 pounds? Something?
Probably close to it, yeah.
Holy cow. I just love those things. Now, I'm not afraid of a squirrel, a bunny, but I still don't want to touch it because I'm always afraid that critters will not know what I'm doing, turn around, bite me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like squirrels.
Yeah.
We have a little tiny squirrel out in our front yard that will walk right up to me, and I don't want him to walk right up to me because I don't want to get bit because they do have
Well, they have sharp incisor teeth.
Yeah, which, I don't want that.
Which can, you know, cause you to bleed if they now, if they do bite you.
How did you get past? Did you ever have a fear of animals like that?
You don't seem to be
frightened of any animal.
I'll admit, probably since I've got my education and I've learned the ecology of them, I guess I know how to handle them and how they're going to respond.
It's like a dog.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to handle a dog might bite you. But
Like the skunk. When I used to work at Mohegan Wilderness, which is in the Mohegan area, and
where is that?
It's on what's called Wally Road. It's the road in Ohio that has the most campgrounds on it. There's like 6-8 campgrounds.
Is that down south, eastern Ohio?
No, it's eastern Ohio.
Oh,
around Ashland County.
Oh, okay.
So Mohegan Wilderness, my wife and I, we worked there in 2013, and I was their park camp naturalist, and we had these little baby skunks that were behind our office, and my boss said, "Hey, you should go look at them." And I'm like, okay. And they were like kitten size. I mean, they were just itty bitty. Well, I said, look how cute. Well, there were four of them. Three ran off. The one stood his ground. And my boss, we should take it.
Oh,
and
no.
They're like, you need to go get it. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So, yeah, I'll give you some gloves. So
yeah, gloves do a lot when he squirts you in the face.
So I did grab them. I did get sprayed, but their spray is not very potent. And I learned as they get older, it becomes more potent. And so what I also learned, too, if you tuck their tail between their legs, they cannot pressurize through that anal gland.
Okay.
So anytime I was handling him, but we only kept him for about a couple weeks because as he was getting older, if he got upset, that smell was getting more stronger, more potent. So
why did your boss decide that was a good idea?
I don't know. For the attraction, I guess. Well, we had a little nature center at the campground.
Well, and doesn't that denaturize that little skunk?
It can. If we would have kept him longer,
Okay.
So, but I'm glad we only had
it very long.
Yeah, we only had it for 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I watch a lot of nature shows. My wife won't let me if there's any killing on the nature show, but I watch a lot of them, and I've, over 75 years, I've learned that don't mess with wild critters because they all of a sudden become naturalized to human, and then they want to be around humans. I watch dodo on, the dodo thing on YouTube where they, they'll come across a little critter that's doesn't have its mommy. And the other day there was a fawn, and they thought that the fawn was probably under 3 weeks old.
Okay.
It was tiny, and the lady didn't want to pick him up because she didn't want to get it used to humans.
Yeah.
And apparently mother deer will leave doe for several hours they're off
Looking for food.
Yeah. And hello. I'm sorry about that, everybody. I just got a phone call probably from an RV place. the little doe, mommy never came back for her.
Yeah.
And they left it outside. They didn't handle it. So after about 2 days or 3 days, they decided mommy wasn't coming back. So they went out and protected it, and it went to a habitat where it was going to be seen by kids, and it'll be taken care of. But now, how long do deer live? Do you know?
On average, they live about 5 to 6 years. In captivity, they have been, I think it was about close to 20.
Yeah, I was going to say, in captivity, they probably last longer. That's pretty true with most critters, isn't it?
Except for moose.
Moose really?
Do worse in captivity.
Really?
Yes.
Why would that be?
I don't know the reason.
Stress, maybe?
It might be, yeah. Great white sharks is also another one that does not do well in captivity.
I hate to say it, but I don't care. I know that's terrible.
I know, like at the Columbus Zoo, we have a volunteer here in Marion County. He's a docent or volunteer for the Columbus Zoo, and he says a lot of times their moose get sick a lot.
Huh. That's kind of strange. Yeah. Now, I have a story about a moose that I'm not going to really relay the whole thing, but I have a friend who went up to work at University of Alaska in Anchorage, and we kind of joked about moose. And, have you had any moose in your backyard? Well, he called me about 2 weeks later and said, there's a moose out in our parking lot, and that moose ended up killing somebody.
Oh, so, yeah. Yeah, they are very aggressive, especially during that breeding season. Oh, those males are very high in testosterone.
What would their breeding season be? Because this would probably have been in the fall.
Probably my guess would probably be probably around this time.
Yeah, okay. So maybe he was just...
Because calves are typically born, I think, usually in between late April to early June.
And calves, the only animal that would like a calf moose is a mom moose, I think. They're really ugly. Their faces are kind of elongated, and their noses are cute. We like all animals. Well, I like all animals, too. Now... this is a question I've always wondered. Kittens. I love kittens. I love cats. I have no problems. I don't own one, but are they really related to tigers?
Yeah. I mean,
are they really?
Yeah, they're a distant cousin. I mean.
Oh, okay. But it's pretty distant, right?
Yeah.
Because, well, some of them look like lions, but very. They never get that big and stuff like that. So, now, are lions protected internationally, or can you go over and shoot a lion in Africa?
I don't know the answer.
Boy, I hope they're protected. Not if they're.
To my knowledge, I think in some African countries, I think you can legally harvest them, but they are very, very specific on the age. And how I saw the documentary. Based on the mane, it kind of shows the age.
Oh, okay.
And it's like you have to be really close to that age. It's basically an older male is what you're allowed to take.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. There are lots of things that different critters have that will tell their age, like horses, their teeth.
Yeah.
Are there other?
Bald eagles. We can tell between 1 to 4 years old.
They don't have the white head, right?
Yeah. So when you saw in the parking lot was over 4 years old. Now, after that, you can't tell.
Yeah.
Based on plumage. But then anything prior to 4 years old, yes.
Okay.
Every year for those first 3 years from like year one, it's going to have a little bit of white. And then year two is going to gain more. Year three is going to have a lot more.
So, and now, how long do they live?
In the wild, they can live up to about 10 years. In captivity, I think it was 30, almost 30 years.
So their white heads don't last them very long if they're not in captivity.
Yeah.
About half of their life. Yeah. Okay. Are there other critters that they can tell the age? Like, do some critters have longer toes, as they get older? Bigger tongues or cuter smiles?
Wild turkeys are really interesting. I know in November we talked about a lot of their different body parts.
Yeah.
We can based on age.
Okay.
Like the wing feathers. On the last two, the primary feathers. If the white bar goes all the way to the end, it's an adult. And if it's halfway, it's a juvenile.
Now, the thing under their neck, is that called the waddle?
So, yeah, under their neck is the waddle. Okay. And then the thing under their chest, if it's a male, is a beard.
Okay. Now, do those change with age?
When they're young, it's a little smaller. But as they get older, it gets a little bit larger. But other than that, we can't really determine age based on their waddle.
Oh, okay. Are peacocks related to turkeys? Do you know?
In a distant way, yeah.
No, they're not natural in.
No, they're
in Ohio. United States.
No, they're actually native to India.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've never even seen one in Florida unless it was in captivity. So yeah. Okay. Well,
it's funny you mentioned that.
Okay.
I'm on a lot of Facebook pages, and especially where I live in Morrow County, just the other day, somebody mentioned on one of our back roads, there's a peacock loose on this road.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness, somebody just told me they could hear noise in the background. Okay. Sorry. There is noise in the background. We have a street not more than 50 feet from us.
Yeah.
And we did have somebody honk, by the way. I didn't get a chance to say hi. I almost always say hi to people that honk as they go by. I didn't get a chance to say hi because we were getting off the air at that time. So, hi. Let's talk about your programs are coming up. And we're going to have to change one item on your programs. Yep. But go ahead and tell us what's going on in the next, month, I guess it is.
Yeah. So I do want to apologize for a couple reasons. I know I've had to cancel a lot of programs for this month. I know two of them was weather-related, which I know I can't control.
Yeah.
But on the Sweetheart Hike, I was experiencing excessive heart palpitation.
Oh.
Problems.
That's odd that it would be on St. Valentine's Day.
Well, it started on the 4th, and as time was progressing on, it was getting worse, and I mean, just doing like a little half-mile hike was taking a toll, so I had to consult with my doctor, and my doctor is like, let's take it easy, you know, let's get this under control, and I've had to make some health changes, some life changes, and I'm doing a lot better now since the 4th, but I'm still planning to do our last winter hike series. Okay. So I just want to apologize about that.
Okay, so. Well now, ill health has been going through this station, so yeah. Be careful because you may not want to come back. All right, well, I hope everything works out well for you, but go ahead.
Yeah. So on the 10th, I've had some people that wanted to do that spectacular carnal program, but we had to cancel it because that's when the snowstorm landed or whoever was coming through.
Tell me, what was that going to be?
It was just, we were going to talk about cardinals, and we were going to go out along the trail and find them, since it is their breeding season.
They're around.
Very focal right now. So, again, that's on the 10th. That'll start at 4 o'clock p.m. at the Tallgrass Trail at the trailhead. On the 12th, we're having our Shamrock Hike. It's our last of the winter hike series. It's from 1 to 4 p.m., but the guided nature tour will start at 1:30. So if you want a nature tour, come out, and I will be guiding that. But if you don't want to, it's a come as you please. So if you only can come from 2 to 3, do your own thing, you can do that. We'll have some light refreshments inside the building.
Okay.
On the 17th, we're having an owl prowl program. We did have to cancel that because of the rain. And
what
I
type of owl prowl?
Just an owl prowl.
Oh, okay.
Because it was raining, and I didn't want to obviously try to call in owls during the rain.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was ethical.
Do you call them in?
Yeah, I do call them in.
Oh, really?
I do some myself, but I do a lot with my phone.
Oh,
so,
okay.
and a speaker. So, yeah. But the screech owls I try.
Yeah.
That will start at 7 o'clock p.m., and that will be there at the trailhead.
Now, do they get mad at you for calling them?
Oh, yeah, because what they think is I'm another owl establishing territory, and they don't know I'm a person, and basically we're starting a turf war.
Yeah, so I get that. I play that the sound of a blue jay on my phone, and he gets really mad at me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, some animals are very territorial.
Yeah.
So. And then on the 19th, we're having a bird watching program at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that will start at Tallgrass Trail, the trailhead. On the, I believe we said the 24th, which will be the 4th Thursday of next month.
We're going to bump that up.
Yeah, we're going to bump it up. We'll be doing our naturalist report here on the station from 10:15 to noon. And then on the 31st, we're doing our listening for frogs and toads. I figure by then we should be having frogs and toads start calling in with it being warmer. Now, of course, that can cancel if we are cold.
Yeah.
So, but that will start at Tallgrass Trail, but at the Her Road parking lot there by the lake.
Now, what type of toads and frogs do we have that you listen for?
So, around here, what we're going to be primarily listening to is the leopard frog, chorus frog, cricket frog, spring peepers, and then the American toad.
I thought the leopard frog was not in this area.
Yeah, we actually have two species of leopard. We have the northern leopard frog and the southern leopard frog. Actually, I should say only one. The southern leopard frog was kicked out of Ohio.
So. Okay, I'm sorry, southern leopard frog. Hey, we have a caller. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. I guess you're not. Well, call back if I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry about that, caller. There we go. We'll have them call back. I hope I didn't do something wrong there. Sometimes if I hit the wrong button,
that's easy.
I cut them off. And the phone is still on. Okay, let's try it again. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? You're on the air. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, call back if you wanted to talk to James Anderson, who is the Marion County naturalist and also a very good teacher. He's taught me so much stuff about our critters. He's actually made me like some of our critters don't like.
I was very impressed. What was it, September or October when I brought that snake in?
Yeah, I did touch him.
I was very proud of you.
Okay, let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
James.
Yeah.
If you have wild animals around your property, is it illegal to trap them and take them somewhere else and let them loose?
So it depends on the animal. If it's like raccoons, opossums, coyotes, foxes, things like that, yes, you are not legally allowed to transport them to another area because there is a chance of them having rabies, distemper, other diseases. Now, I do know squirrels or groundhogs, you can, but you have to have permission from the other landowner and also consult with the Division of Wildlife that you're doing that. So it just depends on the animal.
What would you suggest he do if he can't trap himself, but they are becoming obnoxious to him?
So
can he call somebody?
Yeah, I would call a licensed trapper. They obviously have a special license permit to take an animal.
Where would you find that?
Of course, you can Google, or the phone book still probably has some contact information. I know the ODNR has local trappers, not corporate chain trappers.
Yeah, okay. Does that help you, caller?
Yeah, that's basically what I wanted.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in, and good luck on your problem, because I know it can be a problem.
Yep.
We had a raccoon in our attic when I lived in Athens, and the trapper couldn't get rid of it, but we got rid of him finally. He just decided to leave.
Oh, they can be a nuisance.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure, yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that was a terrible time because I would stick my head up in our crawl space, or not crawl space, but the hole to go up to the attic, and he'd glare at me.
Oh, yeah.
It scared me.
Pooped up.
Yeah, and so I would close that down, and we finally did get a legal trapper to come, and he couldn't catch him either. Let's go back to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, before you guys get off the air,
sure.
I have to tell James. The U.S. Post Office now has stamps, Otters in Snow.
Ooh.
Really?
Neat.
Yeah, my wife just bought a book of them.
Okay.
So pretty neat, especially for a naturalist. You know, you need to put those on all your correspondence.
Yeah, yeah, good idea, Fred.
Yeah, Otters in Snow.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you guys have a good week.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. Fred Malone, he's going to be on my show not too long from now, I guess. The third Thursday. He will be on the week before you're coming in early.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Where were we talking? Oh, those critters, the trappers. Now, the guy that came to my house to get this raccoon, he was licensed, and I guess he even showed my wife his license or something like that.
Yeah.
And I guess you have to be if you're going to track a raccoon, trap.
Yeah, if you're doing like for commercial. Now, I do want to mention that, unfortunately, people think that if you say you had a raccoon or what on your property, and they think when a trapper comes in, they're going to relocate them. No, they still have to follow those rules. So.
Yeah.
There's only two options they legally can do in Ohio. They can release them back on site or euthanize them.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
every state's different, but that is just how Ohio works.
Okay. Now, what happened apparently to this raccoon is he just got tired of all the problems we were giving him, you know, like me sticking my head up in his attic.
We were stressing him out.
Yeah, we were stressing him out, and he just left.
Yeah.
But he was annoying because he apparently, the trapper told me, he was crawling up the side wall of the house to get to the attic.
I could see that.
And I mean, inside the wall, and you could hear him, and it was scary and annoying at the same time.
Yeah.
Not as bad as the bat that got into my house.
You know, I was just about to ask. I said, if you pray a raccoon, I bet you had bat problems, too.
We did. Why would that be? Why would you have both?
Well, I would say if a raccoon can get in, a bat can get in. Yeah. I mean, they can fit through a quarter-size hole.
So. Well, we watched a bat crawl under the a doorway, and there couldn't have been more than a half inch there, and it kind of weaseled its way, kind of like the octopus of, are they mammals?
Well, octopus?
Bats.
Oh, bats, yeah, bats are.
Okay, even though they look like birds, but they're okay. Okay, but they can squeeze into anything, and that was kind of scary. I got up in the middle of the night because we heard scratching, and I turned on the light, and here's this bat halfway in our bedroom. Now, when we turned on the light, he decided that crawling under our door was not a good idea.
What did I do?
He hightailed it out. But now we have a bat flying around our living room. Yeah. So we did get rid of him, though. Oh, policeman just went by. I hope he caught the bad doer. Okay, so let's see. What else have we got? Are bats around all winter long?
Depends on where you are in Ohio, and now in central Ohio, no. Southern Ohio, they're migrated down there. For a lot of our more common species, like big brown, little brown bats, some of our other species actually migrate all the way to Mexico, South America.
They migrate.
Yeah. The hoary bat, the red bat, they're a great example of those little guys that migrate for a very long distance.
I assume there are a lot of bats in southeastern Ohio because there are a lot of caves.
Caves.
In there.
And that's what primarily the little brown bat and the big brown bats are. Now, unfortunately, they are going through a devastation right now with white nose syndrome.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a type of fungus disease that we're not sure where it originated from, but it got into the United States and by Ohio reached in 2011. And what it basically does is it infects this bat in a couple ways. It infects in their brain, and it basically turns on the bat during hibernation time and say, it's spring, even though it's dead of winter.
Yeah.
And so they're flying and flying and flying around, and they basically die of exhaustion. And also, too, it goes on their wings and eats basically through their wing membrane and causes holes, so then they can't fly.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in some colonies, it has caused almost 90% mortality rates.
Oh.
And these are our most common species of bats in Ohio. And if you get these guys that are getting eradicated from this new disease, I mean, we're really going to be suffering.
Yeah.
In Ohio alone,
they eat a lot of mosquitoes.
Yes, I was just about to mention that they have found out almost $40 million of services that they provide in the state of Ohio with pest management. From eating mosquitoes to moths.
We don't pay them, though.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But if you were to pay every bat in Ohio, and of all their services they provide for the agriculture industry, it would almost accumulate to $40 million.
I'll be darned.
And if you take them away, I mean, obviously, that's going to hurt our agricultural.
Yeah, you're going to have something else that's going to take care of those pests.
Yeah. And like we were mentioning earlier, you know, we're all affected. We're all connected.
Yeah, we are connected. We are very much connected. Now, I just found out that what I've been calling a ladybug is not necessarily a ladybug.
No, the Asian lady beetle.
Yeah.
Asian beetle, yeah.
Now, they're kind of bad for you, aren't they?
Or a little bit. Well,
poisonous or something?
Well, they're not poisonous. They're more aggressive than our actual native ladybugs.
So they eat vegetation?
Well, they do eat some vegetation, but they actually, after aphids.
Yeah.
Which are the little critters that are eating your plants.
Yeah.
We actually introduced that Asian lady beetle into
Ohio
to get rid of them. Well, nothing's eating Asian lady beetles, so their population is...
Yeah. And now, I remember, still can, you can buy ladybugs over the air or on the net.
Yeah.
And I hope they're not the Asian ones.
No, probably not anymore now.
Yeah.
But in the... I want to say it was the 90s, early 2000s, you were able to.
Yeah. And I almost thought, I thought about it because I have a garden, and I thought, well, maybe I could do that. And then I thought, I don't want to do that. why bring more critters in than you already have? And I had plenty of ladybugs hanging around. Yeah. So. Now, there's a difference in color between them.
Yeah, they're right? More of a reddish orange.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're the ones who, if you crush them or if they feel threatened, they produce that very stinky smell.
Oh.
Kind of like dirt, lightning bugs.
The worst one is the stink bug, which really stinks like
that. The marmotted stink bug.
Yeah. Hey, we're down to our last 30 seconds. Anything you got to tell us?
I want to thank CRT Mechanical for coming out and a couple weeks ago for plowing the trail. They contacted us. So.
Saw that on your line.
Yeah, so thank you, CRT Mechanical.
Very good. Hey, I'll be back in about 15 minutes, but James will be back on the 24th. Yep. We're going to bring him in a little early next month, so make sure you mark that down in your calendar and come visit us. We'll be right back. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
No, well, you also did the Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, my God. Have you got 2 hours?
Oh, go ahead, please.
Right here in our show, it's a young comic from Las Vegas, Chucky. What is that fat kid's name? Let me tell you something. I have stories that someday you'll call me, and I'll tell you the things that happened with Sullivan and I on the air.
Oh, really?
I did a routine about a coal miner disaster, and at the same time I did it, there was a coal mine disaster in Nova Scotia. He claimed that I did it just to have that routine. I take a note to my mother. Oh. If you ever talk to me again, well, you were going to talk to me again, and we'll talk about that because it's so interesting.
You know, maybe we'll do a whole show on Ed Sullivan sometime. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you get the people and have all the people talk about what happened and how he says, now I want to know something right now. He said to the elephant, what are you going to do on my show? Said to the elephant. And then the elephant made a plot, you know. And well, would you get somebody clean this up?
Now here's what I know about Ed Sullivan from reading.
Well, Ed Sullivan had his 11th anniversary, and I happened to be on the show. And he says to me, Shecky, you're not going to mess up on his show, are you? I said, no, Ed, I promise I won't, you know. So I said to him, you introduce him. No, he says, what are you going to do?